Hello, my name is Valerie Coleman, and I'm the host of the College of the Ozarks podcast, Our Story. The vision of College of the Ozarks is to develop citizens of Christ-like character who are well-educated, hardworking, and patriotic. From passionate professors to first-generation college students, each one has left what is easy and known to reach for something more. Their stories are inspiring. Some of them will bring you to your knees. Some will make you stand and cheer. Step into the shoes of the cycle breakers. You won't regret it, and you just may come away inspired. Welcome, everyone, once again to the Our Story podcast. Today, we are going to take a special journey. Whether you are listening from your office or your car, or if you happen to be on the campus of College of the Ozarks with us today, we welcome you both to campus and to this podcast, because today we are going to take you on a tour of our campus. And one thing that I feel is so special about this to me is that I love for folks to understand and know that we are both a liberal arts college, a four-year accredited college, but we are also definitely a tourist destination. So anywhere from 200,000 to 400,000 guests visit our campus each year. And that in and of itself tells you a little bit about what you're getting ready to experience. And so as you go on this little journey with us, we just invite you to enjoy and to pause the podcast if you would like as you go into these various different areas. And we are going to spend a little time here today telling you what you're going to see as you drive through and experience College of the Ozarks. So today I would like to introduce to you, first off, my student assistant in the public relations office, Esther Ray. She is actually going to be a senior this year, and she works in the office with me, and she's done hundreds of bus tours. And Esther, it's so great to have you with me today.
Thank you. I'm so excited to be here.
Like I said, Esther has talked to many, many guests as they come through campus, and it's really an honor to greet the guests, I feel like. I love visiting with our guests. It really brings the campus into even a clearer focus for me, I feel like.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, giving tours too, or just even presentations or greeting guests that come in, it's definitely one of my favorite things to do.
To see the guests' excitement on their faces, and they light up when they see all there is to do. And I had some friends out the other day who are from this local area, the Branson area, and they did not realize that you could visit Edwards Mill, that you could buy the products or the baskets that are woven, or that the stained glass shop was open to the public, because that actually used to be an academic area. And now it is in its own beautiful little chic venue. You guys, it is gorgeous. And the students are there making the products. And that, again, is what is so special, is guests get to interact with the students and ask them about those processes as they are doing that. Another interesting aspect of the campus and that visitor aspect is charter buses visit Branson, as you all probably know. But a number of those buses come to visit us on the campus. And they visit areas including Patriots Park, our student industries that we just mentioned, the mill and the stained glass and candle shop, Williams Memorial Chapel, and the Keter Center. And every single bus is guided by one of our students who work in the public relations office. And they share facts and landmarks and history along the way. So as we begin this tour today, let's envision that we are beginning at the Welcome Center by Patriots Park, which is actually at the entrance to our campus. And as you drive onto campus, our friendly security personnel there at the Gates of Opportunity will direct you to this building, the Welcome Center, and tell them you would like to start a tour there. At this time, I would like to have Esther talk to us just a little bit about what do you see, Esther, as you've got a busload of folks and you're leaving the Welcome Center. What is that you see on your left? Tell us a little bit about this first stop.
Yes. So the first thing that you will see is Patriots Park. And Patriots Park is really an addition to the campus that has been built in the last 10 years. And we have four different memorials there in honor of veterans that have served our country. So the four memorials that you will see in Patriots Park are the Gold Star Families Memorial Monument, the Missouri Vietnam Veterans Memorial, the Korean War Memorial, and the Global War on Terrorism Memorial. So all of those are in honor of veterans that have served or are currently serving our country. And specifically, I just want to touch on the Missouri Vietnam Veterans Memorial is in honor of the 1,410 Missourians who gave their lives in the Vietnam War. And then the Korean War Memorial honors specifically the 944 Missourians who gave their lives in that war. And then behind those memorials, you will see a grove of trees. So we have over 150 sugar maple trees in what we call Veterans Grove. And each one of those trees is planted in honor of a veteran who has gone back overseas to where they served with a student. So that's part of our patriotic travel program. Veterans are paired with students and they go back to places they served, like Normandy or Vietnam. And it's really a life-changing trip for both the student and the veteran. So Patriots Park is an important place that we have built to honor veterans. And really, we love when people come on and are able to stop there and look around. It's a very meaningful place here on campus.
I would say it's a place of reflection, mm-hmm. definitely. There are so many times when we are finished with our day and we come out of the office and there are folks there just enjoying the park and taking that all in. And I'm so thankful for that, because that's why we built that. And that was the vision for the park, is to have it there for generations and generations. So I love that. And I love your enthusiasm, Esther, and the way you describe it. It's perfect. And for me, and I've been there throughout the dedications of each of those memorials, and to see upwards of 4,000 people out there across the parking lot and see a sea full of veterans with their black and gold, or, you know, their hats on, and just to know, because when we dedicated the Korean War Memorial, we did not know how many of those veterans would be there, but there were probably at least 200 veterans. It just was so meaningful, so meaningful. So I love getting that chance to offer that place and even for guests to come in and visit with us. So if you come out to Patriots Park, be sure and come in and visit with us, and we'll tell you more about what you're seeing there. As you leave that area and you leave our parking lot, you're going to kind of exit through a winding drive that's going to take you back out to James Forsyth Drive. And James Forsyth Drive is going to cut right across the roundabout there, and it's going to take you around behind the backside of the Keter Center, which is the beautiful lodge style facility that you can't miss. But as we are kind of driving through this area, it's so beautiful, and you can look to your left and see out across campus. You'll see the chapel in the background and some of our other structures. But right ahead of you, right center in the roundabout, is the empty cross. And this reminds me of all things related to our Christian pillar. And we're so thankful that this was a new addition to our campus this year. So our new president, Dr. Brad Johnson, had the vision to place the cross right there in the center of campus. And it's by artist Max Greiner Jr. And it stands 40 feet tall. It weighs in at about 20,000 pounds. And it serves as a reminder to all who enter or exit the gates of opportunity that Christ is not there. He is risen. So it's the empty cross for a reason. And we as Christians, we celebrate that. And we are so, so thankful for this, this vivid reminder or symbol of our Christian faith to be in such a prominent location. And Esther, I know you and many of the students have responded so well to that over this first year that it's been in place.
Yes, it's been a powerful symbol to have, to be able to see as a student, especially for me, because I walk up that hill every day to go to work. And just remembering the dedication services that we had there and how powerful it was for the campus community and for students especially.
Absolutely. And I love that it was very impromptu on the day that the cross was installed. It was not a formal gathering, mm-hmm. But you saw students with their guitar singing and praising the Lord and just impromptu praise and worship. And it was just very, very inspiring to me, I think maybe even over everything else to see that. So I love that. I love it. Something that you all celebrate. But like you said, coming or going through the campus, it reminds us to see everything and everyone through the lens of Christ's love. So, wow, what a great reminder. And another interesting fact about the cross, the timing of it. So it was installed the week prior to Easter Sunday. And that was not by our grand design. It was absolutely the Lord, because we'd wanted to have it in that semester before. And then we kept saying, when is it ready? When is it ready? But there's a lot of processes to having that trucked in. And then our construction team put it together and, of course, created that base for it to stand and be solid there for years and years to come. So that was definitely the Lord's timing. As we go through the roundabout and exit out of it and head toward the north side of campus there behind the Keter Center, you will notice that the beautifully appointed guest suites at the Keter Center all have verandas that overlook the campus. So what a treat that is. If you have opportunity to stay at the Keter Center, you will love that. It's very serene. From your room, you'll look out across this gorgeous 1,000-acre campus. And we just truly feel like it is a special place, and it is to us, and we hope that it will be to you as well. On the left, you will see the Hook Center, the Good Center, and the Ag Dome, and all of these facilities on campus have activities for School of the Ozarks, which is our K-12 lab school. So we do have the complete K-college model right here under our umbrella of College of the Ozarks, which is very special. We want to take this time as well to tell you a little bit more about the history of the college. And Esther, you're so good at this. And I know you answer a lot of questions on those bus tours and you tell folks about the history of the college. But tell us a little about that timeline and the mission and vision of College of the Ozarks.
Right. So College of the Ozarks was founded in 1906 by a Presbyterian minister by the name of Reverend James Forsyth. And he originally founded it as School of the Ozarks, but then it built its way up into a two-year college in the year 1956 and a four-year college in the year 1965. It wasn't actually until 1990 that it was renamed College of the Ozarks. And then in 2012, the lab school, School of the Ozarks, that you were talking about, Miss Val, was reinstated. So we have that on campus. The mission of College of the Ozarks has always been to provide the advantages of a Christian education for youth of both sexes, especially those found worthy but who are without sufficient means to procure such training. So that's really the goal and the heart of the college. We are a work college, so that makes us pretty unique because we are only one of nine in the United States. And basically what that means is that students like myself that go to College of the Ozarks work to pay off their tuition instead of paying for it out of pocket or taking out student loans. So by the time I graduate, by the time all students at College of the Ozarks graduate, we are graduating debt-free, which is amazing. And there are over 100 different workstations on campus that students can choose from. So we have about 1,500 students on campus. Majority of those students come from the greater Ozarks region, the four states of Missouri, Arkansas, Oklahoma, and Kansas. But it's not restricted to just those four states. We actually have students from all over the United States and even internationally as well. So some of our top majors also that students get to study in are, we have over 50 different majors, and some of our most popular are psychology, business, agriculture, engineering, and nursing. Last year, our engineering program was actually just granted accreditation by the Engineering Accreditation Commission of ABET. And then our nursing program was actually named number one in the state of Missouri. So those are really exciting achievements and two majors that students choose to study in quite often. So I was telling you all earlier about how students who go here, they work. So they work 15 hours a week every week in addition to their class load. And then they also work two 40-hour work weeks over the course of the year, so those two semesters. So a lot of time goes into work, a lot of time goes into classes, and really a good community is built here at College of the Ozarks. So at this point, while we're driving, we're kind of perfect because if you are driving on campus, you would be on the backside. We'd be over by the dairy. You would see the dairy on your left, and eventually you would reach a stop sign where you would be turning left to go towards the dairy. which agriculture is one of our top workstations and one of our top majors, because we do have a dairy farm that's located on campus, and we also have a hog farm, but thankfully it's located off of campus. But with the dairy farm, students who work there, they milk the cows twice a day at 5 a.m. and 5 p.m., and they take that milk and they send it to three different locations on campus. So they send it to the Keter Center, and we have delicious homemade ice cream up there at the Keter Center. They send it to the cafeteria, so we as students get to drink it. And then they also send it to the daycare, which is another workstation on campus where staff and faculty can send their little kids during the day. So the dairy is a really important part of the campus. And some other places that you would see over there are, we have a tractor museum that is free of charge that is definitely worth stopping by. And that would be on your left as you're driving by. And it houses a lot of older tractors, one of which is the 1918 Gray Wallace. And then we also have our beautiful greenhouses, which are most well known for our orchid collection. We have over 7,000 orchids. And then we would be reaching our two student industries, which Ms. Val mentioned briefly earlier. So we would come upon Edwards Mill and General Store, and also the Stained Glass and Candle Shop. And I think Ms. Val is going to take it from here because we have some important guests with us.
Thank you so much, Esther. Wow, what a great intro to the agricultural area of campus. I love that we have this handy parking area where people can park and access either the mill, the Stained Glass and Candle Shop, the Hoag Greenhouses, and the Gatz Tractor Museum. So a lot to see in this one location, which is fantastic. And you will know you're in the right spot if you are kind of spotting this 1800s era grist mill. You just don't see that every day, everywhere you go. And also Lake Honor, with the swans swimming across the lake with the fountain there. So it's very picturesque. But Esther is exactly right. We have some wonderful people with us today. Amy Leeming is an alum of the college and also serves as the workstation supervisor for Stained Glass and Candle Shop. And so, Amy, thank you so much for taking just a moment. I know you're very, very busy in your workstation.
No, I'm very happy to be here. So thank you for inviting me.
Absolutely. So tell us a little bit about what you and your students do in the Stained Glass and Candle Shop, and maybe how many students you have to accomplish those goals.
Sure. Yes. So we get an amazing opportunity to every day be able to produce stained glass and candles. So that's not something everyone gets to see. I think a lot of people get to see that finished product. So I have 12 amazing students in my workstation, being able to produce that and actually explain to the customers as they walk in how it's produced.
And people actually walk up to them and ask them questions as they are creating those pieces of art, don't they?
Yes. And my students are really proud of the pieces they get to make. They get to finish them from, they get to start and finish the products. So we don't, it's not an assembly line. So they take a lot of pride in being able to pick out their glass and explain to the customers each stage of the stained glass process.
I love it. And I love your night lights. I feel like you have a lot of different interests represented with the night lights. I know you've made so many amazing pieces for me, but I was headed to Florida to visit relatives, and so I purchased the lighthouse night light, and I mean, that was so meaningful to them, and so perfect for what they needed at the time. But I always tell people when I'm there with the guests, if you see it and you like it, grab it.
Absolutely, yes. Everything is made, you know, to order, you know, not really to order, but made right there. And so if it's not, you better get it right then, because it will go very fast.
Well, you have so many guests to your facility that it's hard to even keep that product going.
Correct. And I think that's something that people, we like to share, is it does take time to make these pieces because they are handmade. And so it's just such a custom piece for the customers coming in, and they get to really pick out the pieces that they want.
That's right. That's right. Some of the pieces are seasonal. Tell us about your Christmas offerings that you typically do.
Yeah, so we make an 11-piece nativity set. Each of those pieces are individual, and they're put in wooden bases. So those are sold out really quickly. So basically, if they're on the back line, they sell out that day. So that's a really unique, and obviously goes with the foundation of the college too, the Christian pillar of our campus.
Love it. Beautiful. You know, it's so inspirational to see those pieces and even your fall pieces like the pumpkins and everything. If you are someone who is into seasonal decorating at all, you need to stop by there, and the candles as well. So tell us about the candles that you have right now. What are the scents that you have, and what are they themed after?
Sure. So we have 12 different scents, and each of them are actually themed after locations on campus. So we have a Keter Center candle. That's a waffle cone, because they do make fresh waffle cones up there for the ice cream that's made on campus. We have a stained glass candle, which is a lemon pound cake, lemon peel scent. We have Jones Dairy, which it's citrus scent, so it's a very fresh scent. A Scripture Garden. And then Edwards Mill. So there's a lot of different candles, and it all seasonal too. So if you want something more for the fall or spring or summer, we definitely have all those varieties.
Okay, so that is fantastic. And you have instructed the students how to make candles. I mean, they know you mix the ingredients to create these scents, and you guys are hand making these right there on our campus.
Yes, I mean, from sticking the wick into the glass jar into pouring the wax when it's melted, and then trimming the wicks and getting them labeled and lidded and boxed up. That's what my students get to do.
Okay. Well, that is superb. And I love the different scents. And you know, you see me down there from time to time, and I have to get my little goodies, but I love it. You know, Amy, you've just been such a blessing to us, and you're always willing to help us out with various things. And I know that you have a lot of requests that come your way when we have the special guests, convocation speakers, anyone from Tim Tebow to Amy Grant to presidents and leaders of nations. You've made special gifts for them. So some of those are really large pieces. Can you tell us maybe about one of those that was a special effort of love for you, or that was your favorite one, or the biggest one, or whatever comes to mind?
Sure. I'd have to say, you know, anytime we get the opportunity to make a custom piece for our special guests is really neat. And some of those obviously stand out a little bit more. I think one that really touched me was when we made one for Steve Forbes. He obviously has a magazine, and so we really try to research those guests and really hit something that is memorable for them. And so researching him, I got to find the cover of the first magazine that his grandfather produced, praying that it wasn't a face, but we got to make that. And whenever he received that up on stage, I knew it hit something with him, because he was like, wow, this is the cover of my grandfather's magazine. So at that point, then we know we've hit home with something. And that's what our stained glass department gets to do, is be able to create memories for these guests coming on and then take those back with them.
Oh, I love that. And thank you for sharing that story, because not everyone that walks through the doors of your building is going to necessarily know all of those stories or all of the time and effort and hours that your students put into those gifts. But that is a huge part of what you do.
Absolutely. Yes. Yeah. And that's, the students love that too.
Yeah.
Being able to make a piece for someone and knowing that they created that, that's special for them.
They put their heart and soul into it. I can tell,
yes.
You know, that love comes out in that piece, and it shows. Well, Amy, I appreciate that you are also an alum of the college, and I know that, you know, your time at the college, did you ever think that you were going to come back and be able to be a workstation supervisor in this area and make stained glass?
Well, it definitely was my goal and dream. When I graduated, I told my supervisor, Betty, that if she ever retired or didn't want a job, I'd want to come back. And obviously, it was 11 years before I got to come back, and now I've been here 8 years. But being able to get that opportunity to come back is a dream come true for me.
Well said. Well said. And I feel like that happens a lot. If you go throughout the campus and in and out of all the various offices, and you see how many of our staff are actual graduates, it speaks highly to the experience that they've had there and the education that they've had there.
Absolutely. Yeah. And it keeps giving.
It keeps giving. Yeah. Yeah. We pay it forward, right?
Absolutely.
My name is Reagan, and I am proud to be a student at College of the Ozarks. For more than a century, students like myself have been able to work on campus to offset the cost of tuition and graduate debt-free. With over 100 workstations to choose from, we are able to learn skills that will prepare us for the workforce, and we get to make items for you to enjoy, like our classic fruitcake, candles, student-milled products, and fruit spreads. I love my college, and I know you will too. Check us out and learn more about our student-made products at cofo.edu.
So amazing visiting with these wonderful people across our campus, workstation supervisors and students. And I do hope that as you visit campus, you take the time to talk to our students, ask them questions about what it is they're making, what are they doing, and what does it mean to them to graduate debt-free. And I love hearing the answers as we go through campus and also just seeing the growth in our students. So to know that they come in as freshmen and they're probably working really hard in the cafeteria or in the kitchen at the Keter Center, they're washing some dishes, they're dreaming about where they want to go next, or maybe they love it and they stay at the Keter Center the whole time. Regardless, it's hard work, but it's fulfilling work. And so I would love to introduce to you today Miss Lily Fincher, who actually works in the Edwards Mill and General Store. Lily is a senior psychology major, and she's had some experience as well with giving some presentations. So, Lily, it's so great to have you today. Thanks for coming on the podcast.
Yeah, thank you.
All right. Well, we've talked earlier today about maybe we've seen each other and met a few times, because I feel like every time we've brought groups through lately, which has been quite a few, you've been able to give them a little bit of a demonstration, a little mini tour of the mill, if you will. So can you just in your mind's eye go through for the listener right now what they're going to see when they come inside that beautiful 1800s era mill?
Yeah, so the first thing that you'll see when you come in is all of our student-made products. So everything that we grind there, we're a fully operational grist mill, so we make cornmeal, we make regrind, and we do grits, which if you're from the South, you'll know what grits are, but if you're from the North, you might not, but I get that question a lot. But you'll see those. You'll see our jellies, just different things. And then when you head back, that's where our mill operates. So we have grindstones that actually grind the corn, and then just a bunch of different materials back there, things we put the corn into. And then we also have a different bagging process. So you'll see we have huge sewing machines that are about 100 years old. And so that's what we use to sew up our bags as well.
So you all do it from start to finish. I mean, you have the corn and you grind it and it becomes what? It becomes cornmeal.
Yes, we do. So we grind the corn and we get three different products out of it. Our finest cornmeal is called regrind, and it goes into the rolls at the Keter Center.
Beautiful.
Okay. So, and they make about 1,500 rolls a day. Ooh. That was my first job on campus.
Okay.
So I used to get to do that.
Okay, wow.
But, so we get that, and then just the regular cornmeal. And something else they'll do with the cornmeal is we make cornbread mixes. So you just put some flour, some sugar, just different ingredients in there, and we have cornbread mixes, and then we have grits as well.
Beautiful. And you have quite a number of different mixes now, correct? Like you have
yes.
the biscuit mix, and don't you have pancake and waffle mix as well?
We do. We have two types of pancake mixes, the malted and the wheat. We have cornbread mix, scone mix, which they sell at the Keter Center as well. We have 10 mixes altogether right
10
now.
10 mixes. Okay. So folks, if you dine at the Keter Center and you love that bread service that comes around, be sure and get over to the Keter Center gift shop or the mill to purchase some of those products and take those home with you. The fruit spreads as well. There's many, many different types of fruit spreads now. Do you know how many right now that you're selling?
I think there's about 15.
Okay, that sounds about right. I mean, there's lots to choose from, and I know that they develop special ones like red, white, and blue for 4th of July and summer, and there's always something. I know in the fall, the pumpkin butter.
Yes, our pumpkin butter. Our apple butter is always our number one seller throughout the year.
So that is the quintessential Edwards Mill item, right?
Yes.
Okay, perfect. Okay, so I'm going to ask you an interesting question. What is your favorite product that you guys sell at the mill?
My favorite product is probably the baskets that we make.
Wonderful.
Just because we get to make them so personal. We get to make them from start to finish. So we go, we get to pick out our colors, pick out our design. And then we also, we get to make them at the counter where we talk to the guests. So if they see them, they can like request different basket patterns, or sometimes I'll be halfway through a basket and they'll say they want to buy it and they'll give me their information. So
Wonderful.
We ship it out to them.
Oh, good. And do you ever have someone come up as you're beginning to make a basket and they say, I want a certain thing, or do you just make whatever you're inspired to do? And then it just, they always tend to hit home with somebody, right?
There's definitely both. I like to go up and pick my own designs, but I also like when people come in and they request things. I like to make that for them. So just different colors. I had one lady come in the other day and ask for a blue and a brown one, so I made that for her. I really enjoy doing that.
So how long have you worked at the mill, Lily?
I started last August.
Okay, so you're coming up on a year. Wonderful. And how do you feel about your work in the mill? And it's a little different from what you're studying, but how do you feel like maybe some of those skills that you're learning, just work in general, will carry you through into your career when you graduate?
I think some of the biggest things are just the customer service aspects and also giving the mill tours, because I didn't start off giving those because we recently brought them back, because for a long time we didn't have them due to COVID. But getting to do those has really helped with a lot of my psych classes, because I'm a psychology major, and so we give presentations as well. So kind of building that confidence and learning how to talk to an audience and just getting to give those presentations
Absolutely.
Has been really helpful.
Absolutely. And I always tell the students in my office, you know, strengthening those communication skills, both their writing and their verbal presentations. I would agree, because it takes a little bit of confidence, and it takes a little bit of practice to do well at those things, for sure. Well, we appreciate you spending some time with us so much. And Lily, just have a great year, your senior year. And we wish you all the best there in the mill. And I'm sure we'll be by to see you quite a number of times.
Yeah, thank you.
All right. Well, as we depart from the mill and the beautiful stained glass shop, and we turn right onto Opportunity Avenue, we progress through the heart of campus. And we are going to see along the way, to your right and to your left, some of our academic buildings, some of our dorms for our students. We have a couple of new dorms. You'll see even some construction going on campus. And we're excited about that, because there are some things coming online for our students, including the new Watson Student Center. The Watson Student Center, you will see across from you as you are exiting that agricultural area. Before you turn right there on Opportunity Avenue, it'll be straight in front of you there. And it is a gorgeous mix of the old and the new. Esther, wouldn't you say the way they kind of marry the old with the new and keep some of that limestone, but yet add in all those glass walls? What do you think about that new student center?
I'm so excited. It's been cool to see the progress just over the last couple semesters, and now it's finally open so we can go inside, and it's beautiful. I know it's going to be a great place to hang out or study.
Absolutely. And then as well, we have the new Lively dormitory coming online for the female students in the fall. And just so pleased for them to have these wonderful, beautiful, modern spaces to enjoy their campus experience, their college experience. So that's very important, right, Esther?
Oh, yes.
So as we turn right onto Opportunity Avenue, which I love the names of some of these roads. They feel very appropriate to me. But can you kind of take us through what we're going to see on our right and our left, and maybe all the way down through to the William S. Knight Center? There's some interesting things there. And then we would probably have folks turn back around and turn at the gymnasium to continue on through campus. So can you kind of take us through some of that as we head to the chapel, because I know the chapel is one of your favorite places.
Right. Yes. Yeah, so we would get to that stop sign and you would see the Watson Student Center in front of you, and we'd turn right, And we would just pass a few of our academic buildings. So Pfeiffer and Plaster are the two buildings that you would see on your right. Pfeiffer is our math and science department. So all of our math and science classes are held there, as well as the labs. And then Plaster is our school of business. So a lot of the business classes are held there. And then actually a lot of the communication arts classes are held there as well. That's where most of my classes are. And then on your left, you would see our Armstrong McDonald Clinic. So we do have a clinic on campus where a lot of nursing or pre-med students can actually work as their workstation. And then a lot of the boys' dormitories are on this side of campus. So Youngman Hall and Kels Hall and Barrett Hall are all in this area where all of the boys live. And then as Ms. Val was saying, just continuing down Opportunity Avenue, we have two other newer buildings. We have our engineering building. So as I mentioned earlier, engineering is a pretty popular major on campus. And then right next to the engineering building is the William S. Knight Center. It's our patriotic education building, which, as I started the tour with, patriotic education is really important here at the college. And the patriotic pillar is important here. And that's actually where all the classes are held. So like, as a freshman, when we come in, we take Patriotic Education 1 and we meet there in that building. So that would be further down. But if we were to go back to Cultural Court is the road you would be looking for. And if you're coming back from the engineering building and the Patriotic Education building, you would turn right at that stop sign on Cultural Court. And we would just you'll see the gymnasium there. That's a pretty big building. It's our Howell W. Keeter Athletic Complex. So our gymnasium is held in there, and then they actually have classrooms inside, and we have a fitness center attached to it. So we can compete in the NAIA, and we compete in men's and women's basketball, women's volleyball, men's baseball, and then men's and women's track and field, cross country, and cheerleading. So all of those sports take place there. The baseball field's located behind the gymnasium, actually. And then I think it's really neat because all of the other sports, or even those sports, are offered through intramurals to students. So we get to play. Obviously, it's not competitively, but it's for fun, and we have a good time because it's a good way to build community. So once we pass the gymnasium, we're just going to keep going along that road, and it kind of naturally curves to the left. And we will pass a couple of other buildings, one of which is the Ralph Foster Museum, and then the little schoolhouse that's right next to it, the Star Schoolhouse, which is an accurate representation of what it was like to go to school in the early 1900s. So you would see those two buildings. The museum contains three floors of historical artifacts, including a large collection of Rose O'Neill's Cupid dolls, more than 1,500 firearms, and original artwork from Thomas Hart Benton. And we actually have the truck from the show The Beverly Hillbillies inside there as well. So I definitely recommend taking a stop there and going inside. You could spend hours in that museum. It's fascinating.
Do people on your tours still resonate with The Beverly Hillbillies?
Oh, yes. They love it.
You always ask, has anybody seen the show The Beverly Hillbillies? Mm-hmm. Okay.
Yep.
That's cool.
And it is fun because I've watched that show too. So it's like we get to connect on that level. So
that's great.
Yeah. But as we continue just past the museum, the road again turns to the left naturally. And you'll see in front of you now, as you continue on this road, our beautiful Williams Memorial Chapel. And so I'll tell you a little bit about the chapel. Hopefully you'll have time to get out and go inside and look around. But the Williams Memorial Chapel was finished being built in the year 1958. And it was actually built by students as well. And all of the pews and lights inside are student made, which is really cool. So it is a neo-Gothic structure. The outside is built with stone from the campus quarry, and the inside is built with Indiana limestone. Inside you would find beautiful stained glass windows that were imported from Austria. And they actually tell a chronological story of the Bible from Genesis to Revelation. Also, at the front of the sanctuary, there are four tapestries that are made out of silk, and on them are depictions from St. John's Bible. And then some other notable things in the chapel, we do have an organ that's normally played Sunday morning. It's made up of 2,954 pipes, so it's pretty loud, as you can imagine. And then the bell tower, which I'm sure you noticed when you were driving by, the bell tower is made up of 96 bells, the largest one being 12 feet long and weighing 400 pounds. And those bells actually chime every 15 minutes and they ring on the hour. so you can hear it all across campus. A little bit with that, so part of the college, we have two other pillars. We've mentioned some of our pillars earlier, but the Christian and cultural pillars here at the college really tie in here with the chapel, because we hold chapel service every Sunday morning at 11 a.m., and students that go to College of the Ozarks are required to go to 5 chapel services every semester, as well as 5 convocation services or convocations. That's when we have a guest speaker come in and they speak to some relevant topics or something that will tie in and resonate with the students. It's normally always really, really good information and knowledge shared with us. So it's a cool experience. Sometimes it's a really big speaker. Like last semester, we had Mike Rowe from Dirty Jobs come in. And then sometimes it's someone locally or just someone from across the country. So students go to 5 of those, and then they also have to go to 5 choice. So they choose between either a chapel service or a convocation. So in total, it's 15. As a student, you go to 15 services every semester. And I really just look at that as once a week, because we have about 15 weeks in a semester. So that is the chapel is honestly one of my favorite parts on campus, my favorite buildings.
Me too. And I feel like it really resonates with guests as they come in. You know, it is beautiful from the outside, but you walk inside and I feel like people are wowed every time. They just aren't really even quite prepared for it. And I love that we have it there on our campus and that the students actually did the work of building it. It took 12 years to build and complete. And the beautiful stained glass and the silks from the St. John's Bible, just icing on the cake, I feel like. Mm. And even just the lay of the land across campus, I'm sure you are already sensing this. Stop your car and get out and walk around campus, because it is an experience unto its own. And we also have right out from the chapel, the new scripture garden. And it's located next to the Point, which is a wonderful viewing area as well over Lake Taneycomo. But the new scripture garden is another very inspirational place, because it has scripture verses carved on the stones throughout. It has some beautiful artwork and a beautiful gazebo too. And so talk about picturesque. We've taken some really pretty photos out there, even in just the short amount of time that we've had it on campus. But I do encourage you, if you're walking around campus and enjoying the chapel, don't miss the scripture garden. As we exit from this side of campus and we head back on Opportunity Avenue up toward the Keter Center, we are just about to round out our time on campus, and we thank you once again for your time visiting with us. And I'm sure you've been inspired and encouraged by something that you've seen or that you've purchased or a conversation with a student. But before you go, be sure and visit the Keter Center. Now you can dine there for lunch or dinner. You can enjoy the ice cream from Nettie Marie's College Creamery. And remember, that is made fresh daily from the milk from our cows. So it is definitely an experience well above and beyond. I cannot describe it. You have to experience it for yourself. So lots to see and do at the Keter Center. There's a gift shop there as well. And so if you did not make a purchase at Edwards Mill or Stained Glass, be sure and stop by the gift shop there. There's additional student-made products in the Keter Center gift shop. But now, at this time, I would love to introduce you to another one of our students. Noah Moisange is a junior engineering major, and he works in the Keter Center as a server in the Keter Center restaurant. So Noah is such an exceptional server in the Keter Center and such a great student, and carries quite an academic load as an engineering major, but also works his work shift in the Keter Center, because you don't get to skip out on your work shift, do you, Noah?
No, they'll schedule you as necessary, and so you could start your day with a shift for maybe 3 hours, then leave for a 2-hour class, and then head back to the Keter Center for another 4 hours to maybe close down.
So you have to be dedicated to do it. But I feel like, you know, overall, once you get the rhythm of College of the Ozarks and what it is to work hard, that's going to do nothing but benefit you as you go through your career, don't you think?
Oh, yeah, I think so. I think it's really helped a lot with organization. I was not naturally an organized person,
yeah.
But you have to plan out your day and make sure that I'm not going to miss out on my classes, and then I have this appointment at this time and then work at this time. And so scheduling and organization have really improved for me.
That's right. That's right. That's awesome. I love to hear that. And I think that is certainly one of the benefits of actually working while you're going through college. You're going to take those skills with you into everything that you do.
Definitely.
But I want to talk a little bit about your time at the Keter Center, because my assistant and I, Tony Whitted, we dined with you the other day. Noah's smiling a great big smile right now. We had so much fun, and Noah was so helpful. It was Tony's work anniversary of being at the college for 4 years. And so we were really excited to be there, and I wanted to treat her extra special that day. So we ordered, I think, like maybe one of everything. I don't know. We had these really cool, what were they called, Noah? The little
appetizer? Arancini croquettes?
Yes.
Yeah.
Describe those for us.
Well, it's risotto, which is a creamy rice, and they bread it up and then fry it in the kitchen, and then they place it on top of some fried spinach as well, and then they'll drizzle some, it's a garnish, mm-hmm. On top of that. So it's pretty good. I like it
a lot.
Oh,
my.
And this cheese in
there. It's pretty good. We underestimate this right now. Let me just tell you. We don't have to be modest right now. We can see how wonderful it was. No, he had us at Creamy Risotto Fried. And I said, yes, yes, thank you. But we did that, and we had the bread service, and we had Chef brought out a little dessert, and I think we had wonderful salads for our main course, didn't we? Or did we have sandwiches? Anyway, no matter what you choose at the Keter Center, it's lovely. Do you have a favorite at all right now? Or what are people really loving on this new menu? Because you guys change your menu up quite often as well, don't
yeah.
you?
Yeah, we do. Well, we always have some consistent meals. So the chicken fried chicken is our most popular one.
Ah.
Never goes off, time tested. But personally, I'm a huge fan of the Alfredo. I'm a bit biased because I used to cook that in the kitchen. But they sear the chicken, it gets brown, golden, and then afterwards they'll add the onions, the pogjal, the mushrooms, and they saute it all together. And then they'll put the bechamel sauce with the cheese, and then it's sticky, gooey. And then they'll just keep adding cheese on top of that. So
cheese and more cheese, please. Thank you.
Highly recommend it.
Yes, yes. Oh, goodness. Okay. Well, I do love to dine and to see the changes, and I feel like Chef and the students do a great job of being creative with that menu, too, and adding in something new and fresh.
Oh, yeah, definitely. Especially because the students do have some input in the recipes. Of course, not the recipes so much, but in changing, mm-hmm. Because the menu is different every semester. So the students can come down with... I'm sorry, could I start again?
Yeah, just start again.
The students, I got confused there. But anyway, the students will help give input into the dishes, especially after working there for so long. So, for example, I started off not knowing how to cook, and they just throw you in there and say, start cooking. And so you get that experience firsthand, and you make a lot of mistakes, and you improve as you go on. And a lot of students improve so much, and a lot of them will change their major to culinary. And they start helping with the recipes and helping to improve here or to add something there, and even with the menus. And some people have a background in culinary, and so they'll give their input. And I feel like it's really holistic in their approach to, you know, adjusting the menu and just teaching you how to learn these skills.
Yeah. Oh, I love that. And I've heard so many students who maybe weren't culinary majors and that wasn't their goal to go on in life, but they love that they learned so much about cooking and recipes, and they feel like it equipped them even just for life, you know, making meals for their family or for themselves, and being able to be experimental in that and know what different ingredients can do for a recipe. I just love that. You know, one of my favorite stories that Chef tells, Chef Strickland, executive chef, we just appreciate him so much, but he talks about on that first work day in the fall when you've got all these freshmen on the line, and you know, some of them are education majors, history majors, engineering majors, yeah. you know, whatever it is. But so that this may not be their realm or their world, but here they are and they have to learn the operation of the kitchen. And he talks about how it teaches them prioritizing, multitasking, watching those tickets, making sure that that tray of food going out to a specific table is right. And that, you know, by the time it gets to you, Noah, hopefully those folks in the kitchen have done their part and it comes out to that customer perfect.
Oh, yeah.
And I feel like most of the time that's exactly the case.
Oh, yeah. Because there's a lot of checks and balances before the food actually makes it to the table. So you learn a few things. At least I learned beef is ready at 155 degrees. So the fibers are broken down. And when that's ready, someone on the line, we call them line. The person running the wheel will get the food from each workstation, set it on a plate, and then pass it over the window to Exposition. Exposition makes sure the plate and the setting is right, and everything is cooked to temperature. There's no errors here or there. And then they'll hand it off to the server, and they'll go out and hand it over to the table. And then the table gets a really, well-presented meal. I forgot how to explain that.
No, that's exactly right. That presentation is key, I would say.
Yeah, there's a lot of good not just the presentation, but just the time and the effort and the even science that goes into these meals. Mm-hmm. It's 5-star for sure.
Wow, I can see how much you've learned. So how many years or semesters have you worked in the Keter Center?
I've worked 4 semesters, academic semesters, and then 2 summers as well.
Okay, so that adds up to a good bit of time.
Oh, yeah.
So when you started at the Keter Center, what role were you in, and then how have you progressed to become a server?
I started off washing dishes.
Of course
in the
you
bag,
did.
And
okay.
It was so fun. But I was ready to move to a different workstation.
Sure.
And so afterwards, they moved me to the hotline, and I spent about a year and a half, I think, at the hotline, and there the hotline is basically where all the food is cooked, and all the food and the soups and the different appetizers that are prepared, they come to hotline and we heat it up, and then we plate it from there, and then that's what we hand off. So we're basically the final stage in the kitchen before it goes out to the restaurant. And then afterwards, last summer, I was transferred to room service, and from there I would get the food and take it up to the guests and, you know, greet them. I'd be the first person they saw in the morning, and I'd give them their food, and, you know, we'd have a conversation, and it was always really nice, especially because the guests, they're just so interesting to talk to. They always have stories to share, or they've been from all over the country. And afterwards, I was transferred to service assistant, so I would help out in the restaurant, and basically I'd just pre-bus tables and take plates back and then take food out. And then I did about a month of training, and I was eventually promoted to server. And now I'm currently a server, and I've been there for about, I think, almost a year.
Almost a year as a server. Okay. So I'm sure you feel like you've grown a lot in that year's time of serving and just getting better and better at that. Yes.
Yes. Oh, yeah. I've learned so much, especially with public speaking. I would not say I'm the most comfortable with, you know, attention or talking to guests, but I've learned so much and how I should carry myself and what to say, what not to say. Obviously not using slang daily, mm-hmm. but just representing the school in the best light possible. Mm-hmm. And I feel like it's just been a great experience because not only do you acquire these skills that you can go on to use in your job and to maybe even help your company later on, it also helps with networking, because I've several tables I've served have asked me to apply for maybe internships or offered me an opportunity when I finally graduate, and even just so many nice people that have offered maybe a place to stay if I ever visit their hometown, and it's just been so lovely. And even just these, I especially love when, you know, a group of ladies will come from their church and they'll just pray for you at the end of their meal, and it's really special.
That gives me chills. I love that. You know, I hear these kinds of stories over and over, and even the students in my office, as they interact with guests, they've been able to obtain jobs and go into roles all across the country. So I'm so thankful for that, for you, but thankful for you most of all, that you're here and that you are a student at College of the Ozarks. Without our students, none of us would be there. Mm-hmm. So that is what we're focused on. That's the heart of the matter. And that's you and your story. So before we close out this lovely tour today, I would just love it, Noah, if you would share with us a little bit about where you're from and what it's like to be an international student and the blessing that it is for you to serve at the Keter Center and how all that works and kind of where you hope to be maybe when you graduate.
All right. So like you already said, I'm an international student. I'm from Uganda, and the way I came to learn about the college, I have an uncle, and he's American. He's been a missionary for, I'd say, over 15 years, and he's worked in Uganda. We had a civil war sometime back in the early 2000s, and there were a lot of orphans and widows that came out of that. And so he helped to build the orphanages and homes for the widows, and he worked with the church, which coincidentally me and my family went to, and he got married to my aunt who works there. And so when they got married, we met him, and currently he's trying to build a school similar to the college. It's in the northern part of the country where the Civil War was, and he's hoping it'll be based off the model of College of the Ozarks, but it'll be a two-year agricultural college. And so when I went and saw that and saw everything he was doing, it was just amazing. He told me about College of the Ozarks through that and really encouraged me to apply, and that's how I came to know about the place. And it was really just a blessing to be accepted, because it has a really low admission rate, but it's just after getting here, and I was rejected the first time, but I applied a second time, and after getting here, I know it was really worth it, because now that I've come to College of the Ozarks, honestly, the blessings just keep coming. So for one, I do not have to worry about debt after I graduate, and more so because I'm able to save the money that I would have used towards tuition, and I'm able to send it back home, take care of my family, or at least alleviate financial stresses that they might have. And then also, I'm able to save for the future. So currently, I'm able to save for a car, and I'm hoping to get that soon. And I can also save for when I graduate. And then I'll be able to get a head start in life, which a lot of people are not able to do just because they have all these bills or these debts that they'll have to pay back. And so it's just been a blessing all around, and I can't count them all.
Mm-hmm. Amen. Well, we're blessed to have you, and so thankful to the Lord that he brought you our way. And we do know that it is the Lord that directs our paths.
Definitely.
And we know that the Lord brings the right people. And I have so many people ask me, well, what are my chances, or should I apply, or, you know, how does this work? And I always encourage people to apply, because you do not know if you do not ask, and you're not going to be accepted if you did not apply. Mm. So that is where it starts. It's a very simple process, and we do award those spots to people, especially those with financial need. And I love that about our college. That's part of our mission, and we have stuck to that since 1906. But I'm so, so thrilled, Noah, that you're here with us and encouraged for what the Lord is doing in your life. And I know that he's got his hand on you and will direct you from here. And your sister is coming as well. Is that for this fall?
Yeah, she actually just arrived a few weeks back. So it's been really exciting seeing her.
Okay, so is she starting her work at the college as well already this summer or not
yet?
Yeah,
she's in the dish pit. She's washing dishes.
Dish pit. Okay, that's awesome. Yeah. So she begins her journey of workstations. That's great. Oh, Noah, that is so fun. Well, to everyone listening, I just want to say thank you again for visiting, for listening to the podcast, for visiting the campus. And if you would like to know more, please visit our website at cofo.edu. Again, that's cofo.edu, cofo.edu. And there's all kinds of information there. It talks about our sites to see. It talks about applying for admission, and also how to give to this incredible institution where these lovely individuals, just like you've heard from Noah and Esther and Lily today, and just say a prayer, if you would, for them too, as they finish out their studies at the college campus. And we'll be praying for you too. We hope that you all can, if you're listening to this at work or in your car or as you're driving through, that you make your way onto campus and see all of the beautiful sights to see at College of the Ozarks.